Hello and welcome back to the Pisky Trap, a series where we explore the folklore, history and legends from across Devon and Cornwall. It's been quite a while. This year, other work projects have been pulling me away from the recording desk a little bit. But I just wanted to say a big thank you to all of you who've continued to support the show and to all the wonderful patrons. And a particular shout out to Frank Ridgway in the US. A huge thank you for your support. I really appreciate that. So there's a full length episode on its way very soon. But in the meantime, to hopefully whet your appetite a bit, I've put together this little pisky bite, as I tend to call it. Often I'll come across things in the course of my research and think, that's really interesting and it's worth talking about, but doesn't perhaps stretch to a full 45-minute or hour-long episode. So I suppose this is a bit of an experiment, sharing a few little things that I've come across while I'm researching. But if you guys like them, then do let me know, and I will throw some more your way. Anyway, I'm going to crack straight on with it. This first one I've given the title Macabre Discoveries. Our first little discovery is linked with a subject that we've chatted about before, and that is this idea of smugglers' tunnels. This extract comes from Robert Hunt's Popular Romances of the West of England, where he writes, and I quote, "Smugglers' hiding places, now of course unused, are numerous. On the banks of the Helford River are several, and two or three have lately been discovered on the coast about St. Kevin by the falling in of their roofs. In a part of Penzance Harbour, 9 years ago," so he's talking sometime in the 1850s, "a hiding place of this kind was discovered. It still contained one or two kegs, and the skeleton of a man with his clothes in good preservation. It is presumed that the poor fellow, while intoxicated, was shut in, and the place never more opened by his companions." End quote. So I have to wonder whether this is connected to the tunnels that are said to be beneath the Admiral Benbow pub on Chapel Street, which is definitely worth a visit. And these tunnels are said to lead right down to the harbour. This ties in nicely with another little macabre discovery that was made a few decades earlier, from around 1812, when work began around the harbour in Penzance as part of a project to extend the pier. The following comes from the Royal Cornwall Gazette, dated the 6th of November 1813, and I quote, "As some workmen were lately employed in taking down an old house near the quay at Penzance, they discovered, beneath one of the floors, a human skeleton, which, from its appearance, must have lain there a considerable time. The house had long been uninhabited, as a report prevailed of its having been haunted. Many years since, it was a public house, and some of the inhabitants of the town remember that a sailor who formerly lodged in it, and was stated to be possessed of considerable property, suddenly disappeared, and has never since been heard of. There can be little doubt, but the unfortunate man was murdered and secreted in the place above mentioned. The circumstance has given rise to much speculation in Penzance." End quote. Another fascinating little story there that raises lots of questions surrounding the history of this former pub by the old quay, and whether there's anything more to this rumour of a murdered sailor. I highly recommend checking out the article written by Elizabeth Dale in her blog The Cornish Bird, where she explores this story in a bit more detail. Another little story, this time surrounding a pub that's still in existence. In the book Haunted Pubs of the Southwest by Ian Addicote, we're told about the inn at St. Kew, which is over towards the north coast, not far from Port Isaac. He writes, "In the 1970s, a very grim discovery was made at the St. Kew Inn. The 100-year-old skeleton of a young girl. Reasons for her interment were unclear, but she was reburied in sacred ground and her burial place covered over. The ghost of the young girl now apparently haunts the location of the grave, and most of her appearances have been at times of disturbance or renovations at the inn. So far, I haven't been able to find any records in newspaper archives for this grim discovery, which isn't to say it didn't happen, but this does fall into patterns of certain local stories. For example, there's a tale retold in A Grim Almanac of Cornwall by John van der Kiest, which reads as follows. The Fighting Cocks at Saltash was an inn in the late 18th century, which had a notorious reputation as the place where ne'er-do-wells plotted their misdeeds under the approving eye of an evil landlord. A servant girl set off from Plymouth with a bundle of clothes and her savings to visit friends in Callington. She was seen in Saltash and would have gone past the inn, but was never seen again. People at the inn were suspected of being involved in, if not responsible for her disappearance, but nothing was proved. A few years later, as the landlord lay dying, he shouted, "Take her away! Take her away! I meant her no harm!" Those around him assumed that the girl's death must have been very much on his conscience. Some years later, when the inn was demolished in order to widen the road, a skeleton, thought to be that of the missing girl, was found buried on the site. So, a pretty dark story there, but one that fits in with the same kind of theme. Now, I have to say that so far I haven't been able to find out anything about a Fighting Cocks Inn at Saltash. Though I did put out some feelers to Saltash Heritage and the archivists there, so a big shout out to the team at Saltash Heritage, thanks for that. And they actually got in touch to say that they couldn't find any record of a pub called the Fighting Cocks, but there was, at one time, cockfighting held at a pub called the Passage House Inn, though there's no indication of a date for that. So was there maybe a mix-up with the pub names? Interestingly, they also wrote to tell me that there was a book written in the early part of the 20th century by Colonel William Price Drury with the title The Fighting Cocks. So has this become caught up with a certain work of fiction? Or is it simply a local legend that's been retold and adapted over the years? Who can say? Now, initially, I was going to leave things there for this episode, but then I looked into William Price Drury, and when I did, I discovered a completely separate story, but one that also involved a rather macabre discovery back in the early 1930s. So, William Price Drury had been an officer in the Royal Marines, became an author and dramatist, and was mayor of Saltash between 1929 and 1931. I'm quoting here from an extract in Saltash History and Heritage, which reads, "In 1931, a skeleton was discovered in the mud in the River Tamar of Saltash by two boys, one of whom later became a founder member of Saltash Heritage, Norman Ash. Buttons were found with the bones, and were identified as being those from the uniform of an 18th century Royal Marine. Colonel Drury arranged for the remains to be buried in St. Stephen's Churchyard with full military honours." This story instantly had me intrigued, so I checked the newspaper archives from around that time, and I found an article in the Western Morning News dated the 11th of September 1931. And there's a section that reads, and I quote, "Admiral W.E.R. Martin, thought it might have been the body of a prisoner escaped from Dartmoor. Colonel Drury thought they were the remains of a marine, whilst Mr. Farr of Stonehouse thought they were the remains of a man named Marshall, who had drowned 40 years earlier whilst resetting an anchor. He was caught in the ropes and dragged down with the anchor. So there was a bit of speculation, and people were sending in their theories as to where this body had come from and who it might have belonged to. And then the following year, on the 13th of June 1932, an article was published in the Western Morning News, which read, and I quote, "It will be recalled that in August last, during an exceptionally low spring tide, a man's skeleton was recovered from the Tamar off Salt Ash. With the bones were found upwards of a dozen silver and pewter buttons, which have been positively identified as those worn by the Royal Marines between the years 1745 and 1777. The evidence of the buttons, coupled with the fact that men of war of the period were constantly anchored off Salt Ash, settle beyond doubt the man's identity as a marine drowned in the river at some date between the years mentioned." End quote. 6 years after this, Drury wrote his book, Fighting Cox. So, whether there's a link in here somewhere, who knows? Well, I hope you found that interesting. If you have your own thoughts or theories, or perhaps you've got your own particular local knowledge or take on one of these stories, then please do get in touch. You can find The Pisky Trap on Instagram, and you can also email me at thepiskytrap@gmail.com. If you do like these shorter Pisky Bites, then do let me know. In the meantime, I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back again very soon. Thanks for listening.